a barefoot woman at a shoe sale. Able to stretch a single paycheck for an entire month. Makes money concepts easier than third grade math. Introducing your purveyor of prosperity, Heather Wagenhall.
Work all day, stress all night. Take your mind off your money, focus on your life. Money don't matter or the stuff it buys. It's the way you think, not what you got, yeah.
Unlock Your Wealth Radio starts now.
Get your money mind right.
Yeah, get your money mind right this Friday. Welcome to the show, everyone. I'm Heather Wagenhals, your purveyor of prosperity, and we have got an incredible show for you. Thanks for joining us. For those of you who are joining us for the first time, welcome to Unlock Your Wealth Radio. We are so glad you chose us to help you get your money mind right so your wealth and happiness will follow. Like I said, today's episode is going to be very exciting because the gentleman who specifically his father, but the gentleman who took me down this path of sharing my financial message to the world is going to be on today's show. I'm so excited. So Renaissance entrepreneur and former securities advisor, Jeff Cutler is going to be with us today. And we're going to talk about the dark side of investing with him. And it's really interesting because a lot of the laws that are set up to, quote, protect you as an investor are actually kind of hindering your ability to make effective decisions and causing more problems than what it's worth. And so I'm excited to have him on, and we're going to talk about that. Also, we have a trivia question this week. Today's money drama is going to be a good one because we are going to talk about behavior patterning, and we're going to talk about money dramas, and specifically when husbands and wives or partners, significant others, whatever the relationship status is, it doesn't matter. But the drama will always be the same. And it's always an argument. One likes to spend and one likes to save. And the two never got together on the same page. And we're going to explore a scenario today in our money dramas. And we're going to talk about that later on the show. Also, we are now in our sixth key in our Keys to Riches financial wellness series, Hope for the Best, Plan for the Worst. And for those of you joining us for the first time, the Keys to Riches is a baker's dozen of financial concepts that teach you how to think like the rich and be in control of your own money. How fabulous is that? It also gives you specific techniques to create or fix your credit, eliminate debt, save and invest, building wealth holistically, all while transforming your current financial habits into healthy money management skills. And we've got a great show. I'm so excited about it. In addition to having such a great show lined up for you, I am just so fired up for this year. And we've got so many great things going for us. And all we have to do is apply these principles. And like I've said before, so you're not thinking you believe me so much? That's okay. I don't expect you to buy in 100%. I want you to try and apply these concepts and techniques and prove me wrong. We've got Jeff Cutler coming up. You're listening to Unlock Your Wealth Radio. We'll be right back with more coming up after this.
Hi, it's Marty Logan here from the Top Gun Sales Academy. You know, one thing I've learned over the years is that the most successful people in life have coaches to guide them along their chosen path. Naturally, Wayne Gretzky, Michael Jordan, Tony Stewart, Tom Hoffman, and Robert Kiyosaki all had coaches. Whether it was their father, someone else's father, or another person who helped them to shape their desires into an achievable path to success with a system of accountability where quitting was the only way to fail. Each of these people had someone who didn't see them as they first were, but as the person inside. They knew they could easily become. Truly, financial coaching can be the single addition you need to become financially independent. Call the Unlock Your Wealth Foundation now for your free consultation. 1-866-966-9420. That's our free number again is 1-866-966-9420. Or simply visit us on the web at www.unlockyourwealth.com.
Like, has your cell phone or iPod ever totally run out of battery before? Maybe you're somewhere without power, like fishing, camping, or the beach. Now you can have all the power you need. The K3 Charger by Kinesis Industries uses wind and sun to charge your devices anytime, day or night. Use the wind and sun to store up charging power or charge your device right on the spot. Available now for $99.95 at www.kinesisindustries.com. That's Kinesis, K-I-N-E-S-I-S, Industries.com. Like, go there totally!
Greenback is your neighborhood lender for auto title loans. We offer fast and easy cash title loans for cars, trucks, and motorcycles. Keep your car with title loans from $100 to $50,000. There are no year or mileage limits at Greenback, and we offer the cheapest rates in Arizona, guaranteed. For more information, visit greenbacktitleloans.com or call 480-926-6666.
Even in today's economy, I, Count Dracula, have had to foreclose on my castle. But because of Heather Wagonhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio, I have not only reacquired my castle, but I have opened a resort for the undead. Tune in to Heather Wagonhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio. She's the only one not trying to suck you dry.
So it helps when the mic is on. Ha ha. Welcome back to the show, everyone. You are listening to Unlock Your Wealth Radio. I am she, your purveyor of prosperity, Heather Wagonhalls. And I am so excited about our next guest because Jeff, he's like a little brother and he's so wonderful. We've had some incredible times over the years. We've had tragedy and triumph, and through it all, the two of us have stuck together. And one day, he had a financial radio show. And he was looking to grow his audience and really build it out and develop it. And he was having a conversation with Papa Cutler. And Papa Cutler said, well, if you're looking for ideas, you and Heather are really funny when you two get together. Why don't you have Heather on your show and see what happens? And that was all she wrote because the Financial Fitness Forum took off. The Keys to Riches was born on the Financial Fitness Forum, which was a pretty nifty deal. And we had some triumph and we had some tragedy getting booted from station to station, in trouble with the FCC. And we sure annoyed some people with some of our promos. We had Fluffy the Financial Dinosaur was born. And I think our goal was to be the rabble-rousers, the whistleblowers, the troublemakers, the advocates, and the interpreters. And that was a big challenge because when that show was on, that's when the real estate industry was really starting to grow. The advent of credit scoring started to take hold in underwriting decisions, so it meant it was easier to get mortgage financing. And this all precipitated everything, by the way, that went on in the markets, just so you know. And so what we were able to do with that show was really bring forth and interpret the hyperbole, the doublespeak, and the garbage and the misinformation that was out there, demystify the industry to make it more accessible for folks that wanted to invest in the stock market and real estate and learn how to build true wealth, sustainable wealth. And we had such a great time, and this show is a direct result of what we accomplished on that show. So I just want to say thanks to Jeff, because he has now become the quintessential Renaissance entrepreneur that he is. Now that he has left the securities industry and now that he is not a part of it, he can certainly share his thoughts. And that's what I'm so excited about having him on the show today, because we could pick his brain and figure out what it was that he wanted to say but couldn't say, and what should be said in the industry. And so I am so fortunate and so grateful to bring you guys a conversation that is very candid, like what we used to have when we were on the radio together. So let's get started with Jeff. Welcome to the show, Jeff. I'm so glad that you decided to be a part of the show once again.
Well, a certain amount of needling can certainly help.
Yes, well, I can be persuasive, can't I?
Yes, you can.
One of the reasons why I wanted you back on the show, because the last time you were on the show, we had to be under this cloak of anonymity, if you will, because you were still active within the securities industry. And one of the things that was troubling, because it's supposed to be an industry of transparency, or the illusion of said transparency. And so there were things that you couldn't talk about as a securities professional. But now that you're outside of that industry, can you think of like two or three things that you wanted to be able to speak out about, either publicly or directly to your clients, that you couldn't but really wanted to?
Yes.
Could we enumerate those things, please?
Pardon?
Can we enumerate those things?
You're the one that asked a closed-ended question.
I guess maybe I did. Are there two or three things? Would you please name two or three things that you would have liked to talk about, but you could not have?
That's still yes. Anyway, all right.
Do it, darn it. Just do it.
No, there's the edited part.
Yeah. No, I think I'm going to leave it in. This is going to be uncensored.
Well, that's transparency for you.
There we go.
We're
all about being
real. Well, true. The industry itself, I think, had some issues with transparency, but maybe not in the text that we would notice it. Transparency from a disclosure standpoint was immense. And in 20 years of that industry, it just got more and more layers of disclosure and forms and documentation and notes and things that the client would be presented to a point where opening an account, you have almost a half inch of paperwork you're giving them that is disclosure. And that was their version of transparency. But the real transparency tended to be what people didn't talk about, the not direct omissions, but the indirect omissions. There's things that should be discussed in a document or pointed out in a document. And here's where the industry had some challenges. You weren't allowed to highlight a prospectus or dog ear a prospectus. You weren't allowed to reference a single paragraph or a sentence in a document. You had to give them the document in its totality and have them initial or sign or acknowledge, or you acknowledged in your compliance department that you presented the materials. You could verbally talk to them, but when somebody's new to investing, it's overwhelming, the things that come to their mind, the things that they're going through, and you're handing them all this literature, and they're acknowledging that they're receiving it, but are they really comprehending or understanding it? I always wondered why you couldn't point out, here are the real key things of why this is, because most of it's legalese, but there's important things in there that they should know. But you were chastised for isolating or highlighting certain things. You weren't allowed to do that. So here you just had to hand them this document, verbally express to them what the document entails and the things that you needed to address with them. But then if they had to reference it later, you couldn't, oh, that's on page 75, paragraph 4. You couldn't mention those type of things to them. And I always felt that that was an attempt at transparency, but really didn't get to the heart of the matter, which is comprehension.
Well, what would have been the issue with directing them to the answer? I think that that would be better than answering them with your own layman's terms I think it would be better to reference a document to give them a specific answer that had already been blessed by the legalese department. Wouldn't you agree?
Well, but the legalese department has determined that the entire document in its entirety is the only thing that's proper disclosure. So therefore, to make that work, Heather, we would technically have to sit there and put on our bifocals and have a nice reading of the prospectus. Gather around, everyone. I'm going to read from the prospectus now. So pointing it out and highlighting, they felt violated the potential that I was isolating a certain part to bring to their attention, and therefore I was telling them inadvertently to ignore everything else. And the document was created to be in totality. So those were issues where, after 20 years of this, you get a little fed up with, I knew this person's not comprehending some what I'm saying. I'm trying to explain stuff. I'm trying to draw stuff out. And later when that person thinks about this, they have no reference point to go to again to bring that back up, because I could never mark that. Here's the things I'm talking about now are on page 5. The things I'm discussing here are on page 10. And it was a real fine line. I know some of us probably pushed the envelope and did it anyway because it was the right thing to do. But to the legal side of it, it wasn't supposed to be done that way.
What if you gave them the highlighter and say, now make sure you pay attention to this, and you may highlight it if you wish?
Yeah, that may not have gone as well in any type of compliance inspection. So the regulatory agency falls back to...
But the thing is, for the layman to understand.
Right, but let's get back to the core of the matter, is the law keeps an honest person honest. And this... The intent, if I'm going to rip wrong or defraud somebody, I'm going to figure out a way to do it and make it happen. If I'm going to, as the Jewish proverb would say, don't put sticks in the path of the blind person, just because I have the ability to have more knowledge, to be empowered above the other person, I don't have the right as a human to violate that act. I want to bring them involved. I'm sounding all wishy-washy here, but it's this people's money. That was one thing I always took very seriously. Their money, it's not their children or anything of that nature, but it's so much to them. And whether it's $10,000 or $10 million, it means a lot. And the trust that they just gave me by writing a check to deposit to start their investment journey or continue it or rework their entity is really important. But when it gets down to the regulatory stuff, all they saw was the legalese and the legal, how do we disclose, but that still at the end of the day doesn't prevent somebody from stealing or ripping somebody off by misrepresenting something.
Well, and if you don't have comprehension, what's the point of disclosing it?
Well, very true. And if you had easier ways, like let's say the prospectus was written with its own highlighted portion in it, an idea I had that was spotted down a couple of times. So here you have the prospectus, and then in the prospectus on the front page, here's the Reader's Digest version of this entire document. You know, we encourage you to look at the entire document, but here's the basic gist of what this thing has in it. That'd be really helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I think a lot of people would grasp that. I said, and then you could go over questions, because now I'm going over this supplement to the prospectus that's really the core root of why this document exists.
I have some other questions, but first we need to have a little visit from our sponsors, so I want to hold that thought, because this is a great discussion path. You are listening to Jeff Cutler on Unlock Your Wealth Radio with Heather Wagenholt. We'll be right back with more coming up after this.
Hi, it's Marty Logan here from the Top Gun Sales Academy. You know, one thing I've learned over the years is that the most successful people in life have coaches to guide them along their chosen path. Naturally, Wayne Gretzky, Michael Jordan, Tony Stewart, Tom Hopkins, and Robert Kiyosaki all had coaches. Whether it was their father, someone else's father, or another person who helped them to shape their desires into an achievable path to success with a system of accountability where quitting was the only way to fail. Each of these people had someone who didn't see them as they first were, but as the person inside. They knew they could easily become. Truly, financial coaching can be the single addition you need to become financially independent. Call the Unlock Your Wealth Foundation now for your free consultation, 1-866-966-9420. That toll-free number again is 1-866-966-9420, or simply visit us on the web at www.unlockyourwealth.com.
Like, has your cell phone or iPod ever totally run out of battery before? Maybe you're somewhere without power, like fishing, camping, or the beach. Now you can have all the power you need. The K3 Charger by Kinesis Industries uses wind and sun to charge your devices anytime, day or night. Use the wind and sun to store up charging power or charge your device right on the spot. Available now for $99.95 at www.kinesisindustries.com. That's Kinesis, K-I-N-E-S-I-S, industries.com. Like, go there, totally!
Greenback is your neighborhood lender for auto title loans. We offer fast and easy cash title loans for cars, trucks, and motorcycles. Keep your car with title loans from $100 to $50,000. There are no year or mileage limits at Greenback, and we offer the cheapest rates in Arizona, guaranteed. For more information, visit greenbacktitleloans.com or call 480-926-6666.
Even in today's economy, I, Count Dracula, have had to foreclose on my castle. But because of Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio, I have not only reacquired my castle, but I have opened a resort for the undead. Tune in to Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio. She's the only one not trying to suck you dry.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. You are listening to Jeff Cutler on Unlock Your Wealth Radio. Jeff, before the break, we were talking about transparency, the illusion of transparency, disclosure, and all of that good stuff. Here's an interesting thing that I was thinking of over the break. If you are the, quote, trusted authority, and you're asking me to authorize a document and hand over my life savings that I'm severely emotionally engaged to because I just put my blood, sweat, and tears into all that money I'm handing you, and I want to be able to go and have somebody explain this to me, and you're telling me that I'm the authority, but I can't explain this to you, I need to have my attorney or someone else review it to help make it in layman's terms. I mean, doesn't that creates confusion on the individual investor. What's someone to do when they're faced with that? They want understanding before they go forward. And you could probably answer that and give them a level of comfort to where they understand the risk and the reward, and they can comprehend that. I mean, what do you tell the people when they need understanding and you can't give it to them? What do you tell them?
Well, let's take the reality of that. The understanding is, back to what you mentioned with comprehension, when you see somebody's giving you the deer in the headlights, it's your responsibility to kind of take a minute and say, okay, where did we lose this person, and see if I can get back there. So I'm certainly not implying that people in the profession don't try to explain stuff, but often they try to over-explain stuff, which then gets the person to shut down from listening, or their ego gets in the way, and they just nod their head a lot because they don't want to feel like, I don't know what he's talking about, so I'll just nod my head. And yeah, I understand that. Or we refer to this Charlie Brown's teacher. You know, I'm explaining stuff to him, and they're like, wah, 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 sales load, wah, 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 I'll make 50%, wah, 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 wah. And, you know, everything else is just white noise to how much money am I going to make and why I put that in. I've been in conversations where 15 minutes into it, people are like, I just want to write you a check and open an account. Is there something that difficult with this? So you can tell that there's frustration on their part at times when you're like, well, let me disclose this. Let me explain this. Can we go down this list? Do you realize that there's risks associated with investing? Do you realize? And so sometimes we are trying to disclose stuff, but they're not comprehending because the white noise takes over. They're hearing us ramble on, and they're not really sure. They don't know where to ask a question. You know, what happens if this loses money? I guess some people have asked that before, but they don't define it. Well, loses money. Okay, all investments are subject to losing money in some capacity. So what do you mean by that? It suddenly wake up one morning and it's lost 50%, or I lost a dollar from the previous day on $1 million investment. And these are the questions sometimes advisors don't really get into detail. But I don't want to see any losses. Well, time out. What do you mean you don't want to see any losses? Because we're investing. There's the opportunity for loss exists because you have opportunity for gain beyond a money market or earning nothing. So anytime we enter that realm, there's got to be something associated with it, which then some advisors, well, this is guaranteed or that's guaranteed. They bring in the insurance clause or annuity type of work where they can guarantee this and guarantee that. But there's nothing really to guarantee the performance of an investment. Of course, some of you are this. Well, I can use equity option strategies, or I can use collar spreads to cover that, and I can limit my risk by buying married puts or covered calls. Yes, but there's still risk in investing, folks. And
what about
and
straddles? I remember straddles when I took my Series 7.
Very good. Part of the four-square model of options development. So for these people that take the time, because the original question was really related to, what are some things I always wanted to say to people? Well, one of the first things I want to say to people, if you don't get what I'm saying, let's keep talking about it till you do. Don't just sit there and nod your head and agree with me and finally get out of there. You know, take the time out to learn now or don't invest yet. But
yeah.
Was that a potential financial sacrifice for me to tell someone? Yes, it was the things that I always wanted them, but you couldn't really get into a meeting like that because you had to disclose this and you had to go that and...
Well,
there were times you saw it during the headlights and said, time out. Pardon?
I mean, I know how passionate you were about your clients and the fiduciary responsibility that you really took seriously with regard to your clients. And it's difficult when, you know, even after significant explanation, you still got the deer in the headlight thing. And to have to say no... When you know that with just maybe a little bit further discussion you could have made that happen, must have been really frustrating for you.
Yeah, but you've got to look at what's in the better interest of this individual. I mean, do I want to live with the phone call that I'm ready now or the phone call of what have you done?
Absolutely.
Pardon?
Absolutely. I can see why you fell on the side of the fence that you did because nobody wants to get that call in the middle of the night.
No, and you don't want to get that call. People have panicked, and it still happens. All investment people, I think, have to deal with that issue. And for some, it's an emotional thing, and some people can turn it off. I had probably a harder time turning that off because people trusted me, and you know, losing them a dollar still hurt my feelings just as much, even though maybe to them I might not have the same skin in the game. But you really do when you run a asset-based practice. Every dollar is worth something to the practice, so it does make a difference. I mean, so really getting them to admit that they want to learn more or want to understand more or want to pace it out would have been a great thing to be able to tell people up front or even with all the disclosure. But, of course, if you ever told somebody, here, read this prospectus and get back with me, you'd probably never see them again. Because at some point, some other advisor is going to walk in and just say, here, just sign this and get it taken care of. Because they reach a point where this gentleman was presenting this argument, and he had this disclosure and everything, and they're sitting in some other brokerage firm, and he says, oh, yeah, they go through all that stuff all the time. Here, just sign here, give me a check, and go. So you have the collision of a person that knows what they're supposed to say and yet uses that ability, sticks in front of the blind person to say, yeah, the other guy, yeah, they just ramble on and on and on about, here's the, you know, here, I'll just take care of it, sign here.
Yeah.
And that was a travesty. And yet I would lose a lot of business because I would call somebody back to follow up and they said, oh, yeah, I went over to the bank or I went over here and they just said that I was, you know, everything I was explaining was just way over the top and they just had me sign some documents and that was it. So I don't know why you were going through all this complicated stuff with me.
You know, it's interesting. Oh, my gosh, you just gave me a whole new train of thought. I don't know if you remember when the rage of those stupid subprime loans came out and those no-doc loans and everything. And I would turn away so many people, and they would be, like, going down the road, and they could just drive down the street and find another mortgage lender that would be happy to do their 100% no-doc loan and sell them a $600,000 property when they were just a cashier at Home Depot, and they clearly couldn't afford something like that. And I couldn't in good faith do that loan because I knew it wasn't right for the individual, and they were so desperate to have it, and then they lost that asset as a result of the not being able to afford it, you know, unscrupulous practices, that whole thing. So I totally can sympathize with you on the lost business aspect. But when I put my head down on my pillow at night, I didn't want to be getting up in the middle of the night with somebody freaking out, throwing up on the phone about how I just wrecked their life. And with, you know, a mortgage, I mean, that's the single largest financial tool that you use It's bigger than your 401k. It's bigger than your IRA. It's the single largest financial instrument that you use. And used properly, it can leverage yourself to financial freedom. Used improperly, and it can crush and maim you.
Well, true, true. I guess here's another one of those blunt statements you would have liked to say to people. Look, there are people in my industry that only care about what type of money they're going to make from the money you give them. Do you want to take some time to understand things that those people will say?
Yeah, hello.
And if I did that, though, I would be in a lot of trouble for compliance because then I'm insulting my industry. The people wouldn't understand, and the people would think that I'm trying to create some type of scam when actually all I was trying to do was empower them.
Right. You're trying to empower them, and they're thinking that you're engendering some sort of loyalty because it appears like you're doing the right thing and you're probably some snake oil salesman.
Right, right. And that was always a hard thing to challenge because we are, as you know, we are not looked well upon. I can't say we anymore. The people in the industry are not looked upon in the same light for advice. If I needed heart surgery, I'm probably going to meet with a neurovascular surgeon or a heart doctor or somebody, I would assume. And yet, when I want financial advice, why on the list of people is clergy above a financial professional? I mean, when they come out with that list each year, usually a financial advisor is fifth or sixth on the list of people you rely on for investment advice. And yet all the other industries and professions, I think you go to those people's professionals. So what on earth happened to my peeps at one time that made us looked upon that poorly, that we spend 40 hours a week in continuing education and classes and workshops and all the regulation crap we have to go through? I heard that industry is more regulated than the Nuclear Regulatory Commission now. We go through all of that, and yet we're fifth on the list of somebody you would trust for advice. There's something definitely chronically wrong with how the industry has allowed itself to be perceived, or the experience that consumers have had with some really terrible investment people? Or is it just a matter that it's money? If it was bubble gum or a bad meal or food poisoning, would it be treated differently than when it's people's money? Money's not that important, but yet when it comes down to this, I'm being facetious with the money's not that important. Yes, but what I'm getting at is it's funny that this causes and invokes such a reaction from people when it's money and, oh, he ripped off that senior citizen and everything. And I think the more stories you hear of that nature, the lower we go down the chain of being trusted. So then you have to work over hard to develop trust with an individual over their finances. And when you try to coach them about things that the snake oil people do, you're looked at in a bad light as you're just trying to set me up, you know, for something. So as much advocacy as we tried to provide for people, there was still that apprehension that existed.
Well, here, let's summarize things because we're coming to the close of our time together today. So now that you're on the outside and you can speak freely, what would be a good bulleted list that folks could use as a resource when considering investing? What do they need to do first, second, third in order to protect themselves, since the industry can't advise them the way they should be because of how stupidly it's regulated? What should people do? One, two, three.
See, I still, even after being out of the industry, you say stuff like that and it makes me cringe. Like, you can't say that?
You can't.
Captain, my captain, you can't defend, to defend the industry still. There's still great people out there, and there's great people that are going to try to make the effort to explain things to you. Sometimes asking your friends and family what are experiences, if you know somebody that's been a successful investor, don't talk to them about what investments are cool. Talk to them about some of the people they've interacted with and what they've learned by how they explain things. I mean, find somebody that relates to you. Not in the way of trying to rip you off related to you. I'm just going to do this till I can get their money and then I disappear. But there are people that have walked in those steps that might have some really good advice on the character you should look for, what type of references. You have those FINRA websites, the FINRA.org, correct, I think, where you can look up your broker and you can see how they've been licensed, if they shift firms a lot. You can call the Department of Insurance in your state and do a Google search on the person. I mean, get some due diligence under your belt about the people you want to talk to. Ask questions of them.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody's new to the industry, they can still be a great advisor. Because maybe they're not plagued with all the demons of the past from other sales meetings and weird tactics that they picked up and bad habits. If somebody has 20 or 30 years in the industry, that can be a wonderful tool, but it also could be terrible as if they just have gone unchecked or unnoticed.
You know, it reminds me of our dear friend Marty when he does his sales training and people question why they need sales training. Well, I've been in the business. You know, I got 20 years experience, and Marty's question is always, well, do you have 20 years of experience or 1 year of experience repeated 19 times?
Ooh.
Isn't that great? That's
well, in the securities industry, you constantly have to learn because the environment's changing around mm-hmm. you, so there's really no a good advisor.
But you can still become jaded. You know, you get talking around the wall, man, in the old days, we used to just be able to get them to sign on the dotted line and let us do our thing.
Well, yeah, okay, I'll give you that. Yeah, in the old days, we didn't have to do all this record keeping and bookkeeping. Why do I have to write a dissertation about why I'm putting them in this investment? And you do, after a while, you do take offense to some of those things because a lot of the compliance people were never in the field. How do they know what the clients see? Why don't you hang out with me for a week and see how these clients react to you, me trying to read these paragraphs of disclosure to somebody? Now you might rethink how you present this stuff. And maybe it's the legalese or one lack of legalese in some of the explanations that confuse people even the more.
Mm-hmm.
But such a litigious society. Everybody wants to sue everybody. And so therefore, they have to keep adding more and more legal documents on.
Yeah. It was so great to have you on. You know, I would like to have you come on and talk more about entrepreneurship on a later broadcast because of all of the great entrepreneurial ventures that you have and how you're supporting and coaching folks to entrepreneurial success.
Yeah, I certainly didn't leave the industry because I was chased out with torches as they were going to look for some guy's monster. So
I felt like you left reluctantly because you were really attached to your clients.
I was a little over-attached to the clients, which has its own emotional downfall. But, yeah, there was some definite reasons that stepping down at the time I did was important to my health and important to the success of the clients that trusted me because of the people I could entrust that would take the torch from me and carry it on. But also the spirit that rages in one side to try and build something from nothing is just one of those new journeys that we've been on the last couple of years, and that's fun. To build something from an idea. The securities industry always had a textbook. I had a game plan. I had books that I could follow, people I could learn from. The other areas we're going into, no one has gone there before. We build stuff, but we're building stuff that nobody's seen before. And it's just, it's a totally different world of entrepreneurship than I've been in before.
You have been listening to Jeff Cutler on Unlock Your Wealth Radio. And we will be back with the Keys to Riches coming up right after this.
Hi, it's Marty Logan here from the Top Gun Sales Academy. You know, one thing I've learned over the years is that the most successful people in life have coaches to guide them along their chosen path. Naturally, Wayne Gretzky, Michael Jordan, Tony Stewart, Tom Hopkins, and Robert Kiyosaki all had coaches. Whether it was their father, someone else's father, or another person who helped them to shape their desires into an achievable path to success with a system of accountability where quitting was the only way to fail. Each of these people had someone who didn't see them as they first were, but as the person inside. They knew they could easily become. Truly, financial coaching can be the single vision you need to become financially independent. Call the Unlock Your Wealth Foundation now for your free consultation. 1-866-966-9420. That toll-free number again is 1-866-966-9420. Or simply visit us on the web at www.unlockyourwealth.com.
Like, has your cell phone or iPod ever totally run out of battery before? Maybe you're somewhere without power, like fishing, camping, or the beach. Now you can have all the power you need. The K3 Charger by Kinesis Industries uses wind and sun to charge your devices anytime, day or night. use the wind and sun to store up charging power or charge your device right on the spot. Available now for $99.95 at www.kinesisindustries.com. That's Kinesis, K-I-N-E-S-I-S, Industries.com. Like, go there, totally!
Greenback is your neighborhood lender for auto title loans. We offer fast and easy cash title loans for cars, trucks, and motorcycles. Keep your car with title loans from $100 to $50,000. There are no year or mileage limits at Greenback, and we offer the cheapest rates in Arizona, guaranteed. For more information, visit greenbacktitleloans.com or call 480-926-6666.
Even in today's economy, I, Count Dracula, have had to foreclose on my castle. But because of Heather Wagonhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio, I have not only reacquired my castle, but I have opened a resort for the undead. Tune in to Heather Wagonhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio. She's the only one not trying to suck you dry.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. You're listening to Unlock Your Wealth Radio. I am your hostess with the financial gnosis, Heather Wagonhall, and I am so glad that Jeff popped by the show. It was so fun to catch up and get to be on the air again with him. We used to have so much fun back in the day, but I will have to say this, that I am thankful that I'm no longer in trouble with the FCC because of some of the stuff that we were saying and some of the things that we were doing. So that's kind of a good thing. So before we get to this week's key in our Keys to Riches Financial Wellness series, I would like to give you a trivia question. How about let's make some cool prizes happen, shall we? So you can call in, email in, or visit our website and post in to what you think this week's trivia question is. And you can win fabulous prizes, all kind of books, resources, DVDs, CDs. We have in our Unlock Your Wealth Radio vault from our previous show guests, they've all donated cool merch for you to win. So if you want some swag from Unlock Your Wealth Radio, this is the place to get it, and this is how you can get it for free. Answer this trivia question. And this week's question is, what is the fishy name of a securities disclosure that is not technically an offering of a stock or investment, but it reads like one? Let me repeat that question. What is the fishy name of a securities disclosure that is not an offering of a stock or investment, but it reads like one? If you think you know the answer, please visit our website at unlockyourwealthradio.com or send us an email at trivia@uiwradio.com, trivia@uiwradio.com. Or you can call in to win at 718-508-9002 if you are listening to this show live. We'd love to have your input. So today's money drama is the spender-saver dilemma, and it happens in couples' relationships, and it doesn't matter whether it is a marriage, a partnership, a shack-up, same-sex, opposite-sex, whatever. Every relationship has dynamics. You're going to have different energies. Sometimes energies in relationships change. Sometimes they're very cut and dry. So sometimes there's always masculine and feminine. Sometimes there's a blend. Sometimes there's a flip-flop. Maybe, for example, a girlfriend of mine, her husband was the breadwinner for years. She stayed home and raised the kids. And then when she had the opportunity to finish school and get a killer job, he got to take a break. And so the dynamic of the income earning changed and the dynamic of the relationship changed. And they're both very, very happy about it because she feels very empowered to be able to manage their lives financially and be able to contribute in that fashion after raising children. So it's really a cool relationship. But not every relationship works that way. Not every relationship can switch the energies or the dynamics. And above and beyond masculine or feminine in relationship dynamics, perhaps we may have spender-saver dilemmas too. And even if you are good about talking upfront with your partner about money, finances, we don't usually talk about spending habits or patterns. And again, most of our spending and saving is subconscious. It's pre-programmed behavior, especially when we have problems with impulse spending or hoarding and saving. And some people go the opposite direction of impulse spending, and they're voracious savers, and they can't bring themselves to spending any money on themselves. All of these money dramas that start fights between couples because, oh, well, you just won't loosen up. And they're like, oh, well, you need to rein that in. These money dramas that occur between spenders and savers in a relationship have absolutely nothing to do with money itself. But it has to do with behavioral dynamics from when we were kids and what our first exposures were to money. And some examples can be, was money used as a tool for bribery or shutting you up? Were you bought off, so to speak, by your parents? Were you hushed? Was money something that wasn't ever spent? Was it a worth issue? You know, when you get excessive savers, you have an issue of worth. And they might be able to spend money freely on others, but when it comes to themselves, they're afraid to indulge. They're afraid to enjoy their money because they always think something bad's going to happen. And this can be pre-programmed by overprotective parents, overzealous, you know, like germophobes, OCD issues, and they can manifest themselves through money. And all you have to do is get a saver in conflict with a spender, and you're going to have dramas that play out in your marriage all the time about money when it doesn't have anything to do with money. So I wanted to bring our first money drama to your attention with our spender-saver dilemma. For more money dramas, please visit our website, and you can link through from unlockyourwealthradio.com on our blog where we talk about money dramas. Now, let's move forward to this week's key in our Keys to Riches Financial Wellness series, and that's hope for the best, plan for the worst. And this is an important key because next week we're going to be breaking the budget. And when we break the budget, what we're going to be doing is creating a healthy savings and spending plan by identifying all of these things that have occurred dynamically in our finances. But back to money dramas, because of the way we were patterned as children, our behaviors go subconsciously. And hope for the best, plan for the worst, as this week's key, serves a couple of purposes. The first key is, while it's important to be optimistic when we talk about our finances and have plans and be focusing on our plans succeeding, because of this little switch that flips in our head when it comes time to deal with catastrophe, if we haven't explored that issue and fear sets in, we're not going to be able to make effective, rational, reasonable decisions. So this week's key, in order to effectively pursue and succeed at our plan A, we have to thoroughly explore what plan B would look like. And you're probably thinking, well, that's the antithesis of all this other stuff you're saying. But it's really not, because what we think about, we bring about. All right? And if we're thinking about plan A, but there's something lurking under the surface about what if, and we trigger a fear inside of ourselves, then while we think we're consciously thinking about plan A, we're sabotaging ourselves because we're focused really subconsciously, where most of our thought process occurs, on plan B. And specifically the one plan B that doesn't exist because we're busy freaking out about it because we haven't addressed it. And most fear, while there are all sorts of fears, fear of not being good enough, fear of losing control, fear of being controlled, fear of worth, fear of rejection, all those fears kind of center on this one fear, that's the fear of the unknown. And the purpose of this week's key is to help you make those unknowns known. Because once you know about it, then you can create a plan for it. And when is the best time to be planning for things? When we're not emotionally engaged to the situation. That's the best time. So we need to focus while we are completely unbiased, while we're not in the urgency of the situation, while we're not suffering a chemical dump of hormone, when we can be rational, reasonable, and logical, making decisions from that very powerful prefrontal cortex, third brain that we have. So all we have to do is explore these fears, which is, again, the unknown, making the unknown known, and then by letting us off the hook, because we've got a strategy in place. For me, it's a superstitious thing. If I've explored it and I've identified what the issues could be and I've created that alternative scenario, it most likely will never happen because I'm not filtering for it, because it's not nagging at me about the unknown. And I'm not, what would I do, what it could have, should have, how can I? Like, I don't even have to panic because I've already explored it. So if, in the event that that situation arises, we already have a plan in place. So we're going to stay in control emotionally and mentally, which is key. Because when we get triggered, oh, okay, I just crashed my car and I broke my leg and I can't work for 3 months. It's okay because we had a plan in place. We have already addressed that. So if you visit the website at unlockyourwealthradio.com and you click on this week's key for the keys to riches, you will find key six. And part of our key action item is to explore with your significant other potential catastrophe and what would you do in the event of that catastrophe. Because we must remember, once that prefrontal cortex shuts down, we do not rise to the occasion. We default to our training. So what have we programmed in place to be successful in alternative scenarios? Here's some examples. What if you or your spouse or significant other lose your job or someone else in the household that provides income? So what happens in that case scenario? Are you going to freak out? Are you going to pretend like nothing's happening and just hope you get another job? You need to explore that. What about your family struggling and all of a sudden there's an unexpected pregnancy? You already have 4 kids. You weren't thinking about 5 and you only wanted 2. So what do we do in that scenario? Does everybody work and get new jobs? Do we have somebody stay at home? How do we handle that? Or do we, you know, do we make other decisions? Do we consider adoption or other alternatives if it's financially not viable for us to have another child? These are all considerations you have to make. And when you're in the heat of anger or upset or stress about all of that situation, you're just not going to be able to be rational or reasonable about it. What about the sudden responsibility in caring for an indigent parent? If you are an only child or you have siblings that are unable or unwilling to provide the care for one of your parents that may be suffering from something, do you put them in a home? Can you even afford that? Does that materially alter your financial plans? That's something that needs to be explored. Like my previous example I started with, injury or accident that might keep you from working. And that's not just in the car, but that's like falling off of a ladder. You know, a friend of mine fell off a ladder, broke a neck, couldn't work for a month. What about the death of an income-producing spouse? This is the one that nobody wants to talk about because everybody wants to think the best about their family and it's going to go on forever and I'll always be married and all of this stuff. But But what happens if you lose your income-producing spouse? Is there life insurance in place? Is there a pension that you might receive? Could you potentially collect Social Security? How is that going to be handled? What are your options? And we don't know, we never know about how our lives will unfold. And now is probably a good time to talk about my show dedication to a dear friend, Brent Peterson, and how sorely he will be missed. And unexpected, complete loss of life. So what if he was financially responsible for his family? How would that play out? So these are questions that you have to ask while everybody is still around to make effective decisions and properly plan and prepare for that. What if you are the victim of a lawsuit, or what if you have to fund a lawsuit for something that's near and dear and material to your family? How do you pay for that? Or what do you do in the event that you lose a lawsuit? That may materially affect your family forever. So we have to make these considerations now while we can explore all the options in a rational, reasonable way. We can look at everything for what it is and not just be so emotionally engaged that, no, that doesn't work. No, that doesn't work. Perhaps they might be viable in a different frame of mind. So it's so critical to be able to take a look at that. What about a physical or a mental limitation of a child or a sibling? What if you have a special needs child or a brother or sister that you might have to take care of? These are all things that we must pay attention to. And we've got to focus on this, because if we don't, when the situation does arise, because subconsciously it's going to be nagging at you. So if you don't address it and resolve it, it's going to be there hanging out. And what we resist persists. And if you allow that to happen, then you're going to get hung up and get a less than desired result from the decisions you make when you have to do it under duress. So that's it for this week's key. If you would like the nuts and bolts for this week's key, please visit the website at unlockyourwealthradio.com for your key statement, key affirmation, key commitment, and key action item. That list that we just went over on air is available on the website. Thank you guys so much for joining us today. I'm thrilled that you became a part of our show. The Keys to Riches is the foundation on which this show was built. And like I said earlier, it was born on the Financial Fitness Forum. And I am very grateful for Jeff for stopping by and being a part of the show. If you'd like to learn more about Jeff, just visit our website and link through from the show page, and you'll get all the good details. And I want to thank you for committing yet another week, or your first week, to improving yourself through the Keys to Riches Financial Wellness Series. And I am so grateful that you became a part of the show. Remember, this week's trivia question is, what is the fishy name of a securities disclosure that is not an offering of a stock or an investment, but it does read like one? Trivia at UIWradio.com is where you need to send your potential answer. Thanks so much for joining us. It's been a pleasure having you on. I'm Heather Wagenhall saying thank you so much for being a part of our show and stopping by, where we are the home of the Internet's number one wealth radio show, where you go to get your money mind right so your wealth and happiness will follow. Thanks so much for joining us, and go out and make it a prosperous day.